Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be discussing a subject that I think science is beginning to catch up with on many different levels. But the two ladies that are going to be with me today, Judith Lowe and Maria McKinney, both have been involved with meditative music for healing for a long, long time. And they've got such a combined background and experience in this. For those of you that have an interest, that are listening to the show today, know that these two women have so much background behind them that they've actually seen results, especially in their research. And I want to welcome both Maria and Judith to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna. We're happy to
welcome.
Be here.
Well, it's a delight having both of you. Now, you're in Redmond, Washington, are you not?
Correct.
And Bellevue.
And Bellevue as well. Okay, so
yes.
Both of you have been very much involved with this. Judith, give us a little bit of your background, and then Maria, I'm going to want you to give some information on your background. Tell us how you ended up getting involved with music and dealing with vibrational frequencies that can heal.
When, in 1981, we met at CBEC, Washington, at a conference, and I was told by a new friend about Maria and her ability to help people through finding better music to balance their energies. And I then had two teenagers and was also looking for more spiritual guidance for them and for their choices of music and understanding how music affects all of us. And Maria was most helpful. And I certainly was fascinated with the study of her music therapy and began to work with her and understanding more about how it affects our chakras and brings harmony and joy and peace into our lives.
Now, we're hearing a little bit of music in the background right now, and I know that you also have a CD out. Now, what my audience doesn't know is that I had interviewed you both many years ago here in Washington when I was doing a show. And I found that the information regarding the center was just amazing. Maria, tell us about you, how you got into this, and your Casa de Maria Research Center that is in Redmond. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, my background is music. I'm a cellist. I've taught and played all my life. And I wanted to go into music therapy because I realized how much music influenced people and could bring them a lot of health, or if they were sick, it would improve their attitude and so on. And so I went into music therapy for several years, playing certain numbers, certain pieces of music for people that came to the center. And I found out it's very time-consuming picking out, say, several pieces for an hour session. So I decided to go into the tones, and we were introduced to these tones from a person that we knew, my twin sister and I, named Al Miner. He's living in North Carolina, and he gave us these tones. We didn't have any idea how to use them, but we experimented with them. We researched with them. And so we came up with this recording, and we call it Musical Massage Sound Therapy. There's lots of variations on music therapy, music for massage, music massage, vibrations. We have a lot of competition in that respect. But music massage, sound therapy is unique in one other way, and that's it's connected with pyramids. And that brings a whole new level of healing for musical massage sound therapy.
Now, how is it connected with the pyramids? I know that a woman by the name of Elke had, you know, she, this is really interesting to me because your book that I have in front of me called Breaking the Silence, is not only do you have the CDs, but you also have the book Breaking the Silence and some other items as well. But Elke McCartney was quite a gifted lady. And she, you said she could see auras, she could see details around people, and she also saw geometric forms. So with these tones, you mentioned the pyramid. Let's pull some of this together and explain to my audience how it was that this woman had such a tremendous influence, and what is the relationship of the pyramids to the tones?
Okay, we had several group sessions at the Casa de Maria Research Center. And Elke was there to tell about the auras, what's happening to the auras as they listen to the tones. And we had something like 100 different people over several years and come into the center for classes. And she would tell people what was in their aura. That's how we have the book, Breaking the Silence. And she's very, very gifted. She can, I call her, not just able to see auras, but also she has a sacred sight because she can see pyramids and oh, just spiritual things in the auras. So she helped us out a lot, and that's how we really got started.
Now, I know that your book is in various parts, and we'll go through some of them.
Okay.
But you, in your book, you say the ascending scale, and there's a mathematical formula to these tones. The ascending scale creates a formation of an upright pyramid, and the descending scale, the inverted pyramid.
Right.
So when you're listening to these tones, you say the ascending scale harmonizes and stabilizes the energy centers, psychological in the energy and light bodies. And then the descending scale introduces the higher self, the eternal self, or the life force energy.
Yes.
And then the physical and the external, whatever words you want to use with it, then become harmonized. Now, Judas, with the work that you're doing at the center and with the involvement you've had, how has this affected you? What was it that intrigued you so that you decided you wanted to become part of the team?
Which time period are we talking about now? The present one, we do have a wonderful group that's been meeting for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And very faithfully, every other week, or I mean, it's the second and the fourth Thursday of the month that we meet at Bellevue Unity Church in Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very good understanding now of how much meditation can help the world and individuals as well. And we play the third variation of the tones and then share our meditations, if we want to, with everyone. And there is a prayer period beforehand, a short one. And we close with a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and a short unity prayer. And this has sustained us so beautifully for a good 8 years, I would say, maybe more.
Yes, we believe the tones have united us closer because we're a very close-knit group now.
You talk about how important sound is to prevent disease. Explain that.
It balances our chakras quite well. and with less stress in the body because of having a balanced systems that are working nicely and watching our nutritional intake somewhat, we feel that promotes well-being and peace within and good health. And
now,
very often brings health where there is none.
Mm-hmm. In the book, Maria, there is a section devoted to a gentleman called Fabian Mammen of France.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Now, he was an acupuncturist as well as someone that researched music. Tell us about what he did with cancer cells and Petri dishes.
Oh, he would take a cancer cell and put it in a Petri dish and then play a certain tone. And if he played a certain tone, it would kill the cancer cells. So that was his research. Incredible.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful alternative to chemotherapy and radiation?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Now, I know at your center that you had, if I remember correctly, a soundproof booth that people could go into.
Yes.
And that you would play music.
Yes.
And I don't know, from the time that I was made aware of this a few years back to today, what differences there are in what you utilize. But I understood that classical music, certain aspects of classical music, because of their tonalities, actually created harmonic healings in people's bodies. Do you have any specific cases that you can talk about relative to this?
Oh, yes. There are about 25 really great masters out of the hundreds of composers. And they have something over the rest of them because they have this healing power in their music. For example, Wagner's music really helps people with fear. It brings them a lot of peace. We had a really great time when a mother brought in the child, and the child was crying all the time and really sad. We put her on the stomach of her mother, that is, stomach to stomach, and played Wagner. And the child went to sleep as we played the music, and she never had any problem after that. So that was a one-time playing of the piece that really helped her. And then Beethoven seems to help people that are alcoholics or maybe smoke too much or whatever. Anyway, bad habits, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And Brahms brings people to a certain feeling of being at home. So each composer has something very special.
Well, that is, I think, some fascinating information, because this could have a tremendous impact if this was incorporated, let's say, into healing environments like nursing homes or people that are going through major traumas, post-traumatic stress syndrome. You have the research by Fabian Mammen regarding the cancer and various tones. These are things that can really make a difference in people's lives. And I think anybody, if they pay attention, you go around sometimes when you will hear people that are in vehicles and they've got the ba-boom, 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 you know, some music on so loud that the car's rocking, and you go, gee whiz, I'm surprised they've even got a brain left. And many times dependent on the tone that's in the music that they're playing so loudly, you could actually agitate someone so that they could lose their temper, not be in control of themselves and their responses to things that are going on around them. They have literally gone into another head zone that the emotions are tacked in with, and there's all kinds of disruptions. It's really amazing at how the research at Casa de Maria has been able to bring so much of this into play.
and that how you're still working with this today at your center in Redmond, Washington. Now, in this book, and you go into it, and your sister, Maria Dorothy,
yes,
was the one that had written the first, the preface to the book.
Yes.
And I think that you've got so many good points of information, and you have a section in your book about Elke, and she talks about what's called the new chakras.
Yes.
Now, dependent on the modality that you have been exposed to, some people say there's like 27 chakras in the body. Other people say there's 6 or 7. Tell us what Elke's position is on this.
Well, Elke saw the 7 major chakras, and there are many in the hands and the arms, and there's a lot more that she saw, but there's those 7 main ones. But then she saw the sparkler above the head, and she saw a dream chakra in the back of the neck. And so she saw these developing in people now in this present time, which is really something she's very excited about.
Well, I can imagine that she would be. And I think much of what is being brought forth at this time is showing how a significant portion of population is waking up.
Yes.
And unlike eras in the past, we have the capacity for communicating and sharing with people our different aspects of understanding. And I think, especially with the very young ones that are being born today, that they are coming in with different sensitivities than previous generations. Maybe a few would have had it before. Now there seems to be more that are coming in. And I think it's all part of the change that's meant to happen. We have to think differently and do things differently. And I really enjoyed this section, the solar star that you mentioned.
Yes.
You said that she also called it the open flame. There's the dream chakra,
yes,
the thymus chakra,
right,
the diaphragm chakra. These are additional chakras that she has become aware of with,
yes,
people.
Just recently. Uh-huh.
Now, with your research center, how is it that, let me rephrase my question. What do you see as the most significant contributing element within the center at this time, and where do you see that you want the center to go in its research?
Well, the center only exists with musical massage sound therapy recordings. So I've turned 81, so I'm not active in the center anymore.
Well, congratulations.
And so I'm working mostly with the variations, sending out musical massage sound therapy CDs, and corresponding with people that are interested in it.
Now, let's talk about the CD. In the background, you've been,
yes,
playing these various tones from musical massage sound therapy. Now, on the very first variation, you say that it's physically and emotionally very engaging. What is it with these tones, and are these the tones that Al Minor told you about?
Yes, uh-huh. And each of the three variations are very different in the sense that the first variation affects the aura at the close to the body, and the second variation works with the 5th, 6th, and chakras, so that works more with the throat chakra. And then the third variation works more with the entire body.
Now, you have what you call your ascending scales. And you have tone 1, and that goes through all the way up to, my goodness, you have 16 different tones.
Oh, that's because she counts the first 7, the ascending, and then the next ones are the descending.
Okay. So 8 and 9 are what you would call the apex, in a way, of the tones, and then there's the descending tones.
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, when you do this, and I know you have your meetings twice a month, and you go through this, it does create a stimulus in people. And that is something that you bring out in the book about how the different variations affect people. And you say this first portion on the CD is very good for wound recovery and major muscle group relaxation and pain relief. But one of the things that has been found out is that many times people have emotions that come to the surface.
Oh, right. So that's pretty much on the second variation and the third variation.
Oh, that's on the second and third variation.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you also have breathing techniques that you implement with this because you feel that it helps. Tell us a little bit about why that you feel is valuable as a complement to working with this musical massage therapy arrangement that you've done.
During the silence, which is a very important part of the CD, was just explaining to Judith before the program, there's talking and there's listening, so you can't do both at the same time. So the silence is the listening, it changes from talking to listening to talking to listening. And the tones sink into the body during the silence time. That's when all the action takes place.
I found it interesting in the second segment on your CD that there was a comment made, it was very good for people who do a lot of communication to listen to.
Yes.
And for those that have to do a lot of mental work, that requires concentration. Does it assist in concentration? Does it help harmonize so it relieves a lot of stress and strain? What is so unique about that second segment on the CD?
Because it balances those chakras and gives a certain stability to the system and an reason to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
So a person can concentrate more.
I wonder if something like this was used with children. Have you ever done very much with children as far as seeing their response to this?
We have done some. My sister had a class of children with ADD and ADHD, and she had them listen to the variations. And these are special children that came from dysfunctional families, people on... addictive, and the ADD children were very misbehaved, but the MMST, the musical massage sound therapy, really helped them
mm-hmm.
with their attention, and they patched the holes in the aura and integrated the spirit and the mind and the body.
Well, I think it's so intriguing. One of the things I want my audience to know about you, Maria, and I think it's marvelous that you're still involved and active at the youthful age of 81, that you had acquired degrees from Mann's College, Yale University, Stanford, and the University of Oregon. You mentioned at the beginning of the show you're a professional cellist, and also the viola da gamba, which you learned.
Oh,
in
yes, I did.
Basel, Switzerland, and you actually were a professor of music at Central Washington University, and you made a choice to leave that to support the center. And then your sister, she also has degrees from Stanford, Pacific Union College, and Saybrook Institute, and she herself was a professional violinist and a concert mistress of the Napa Valley Symphony Orchestra.
That's correct, uh-huh.
And she also did a book on energy medicine, biofield devices used to detect subtle energies. She did biofield studies. She was involved in sound healing, chronic pain syndrome case study.
Yes.
And she was very supportive of this center. Now, is your sister still involved with this?
Unfortunately, she's gone.
She passed away.
Yes.
Well, the two of you were a dynamic team, and then Judith, you're a part of it. I think that this is wonderful. Now, with the legacy of the center and with the CDs that you're doing, have you been sharing this with various college classes that are involved in musical therapy? Is this something that you are sharing with others as well of that interest?
I did try to do that. When the colleges talk about music therapy, they're talking about music that's for activities like walking or dancing together, something like that. And when I talk about music therapy, I'm talking about composers that are therapeutic for listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really work in colleges.
Oh, well, that's an interesting statement. I would have thought that there would have been a great deal of interest, because to me, the word therapy covers infinite amount of modalities. It's not limited to just one.
I agree.
And music is just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Judith, with your involvement, how do you see that you're able to share this with others? What can you see as a long-term picture with musical sound therapy?
Well, I think one of the most outstanding things calling me at this time would be the MMST for ADD and ADHD children and perhaps brain damage children. It brings a calm and security and love, and it patches the holes in the aura and integrates the spirit, mind, body for those with attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And I would like to explore that more.
Mm-hmm.
And with a background of education and art, I think it's something that I have yet ahead of me to do.
Well, I think the art, along with the music and what you're describing, it was my experience many years ago that in working with children, and I'll just share this with you, giving them a huge array of crayons and asking them to draw, whether or not they were doing stick figures wasn't even important. It was the colors that they were using. And then playing the music. What a wonderful way to integrate an understanding into a capacity of communicating with a child that maybe you wouldn't otherwise have.
One of the things that I was doing at the center was combining colored light with the tones, and that was very interesting.
What were the results that you had with the colored lights?
It just magnified what I was doing.
What kind of lighting did you use? What colors?
Oh, we had three principal ones. It was yellow and red and green.
Those three colors. That's interesting.
And those were lights on the inside of the attunement room. No, on the outside. But the light showed through on the person that was in the attunement room.
That is really interesting. What kind of responses did you get?
I don't know. We didn't really write it down what people responded. I just know it gave them a lot more comfort than just the music alone. It was more of a completion.
Well, it said that the ancients used colors and various things, and so this is something that I think we are rediscovering. The color definitely would have an impact along with the sounds. I mean, look at stage productions. It is absolutely amazing how you can turn off a crowd depending on what the music is and the setting that you have and those colors that are in that. And people have heard performances of operas that the setting was absolutely atrocious and they just said, we hated it. And it's really interesting when you're mentioning that, because I do think color, form, and music are so integrative that it has a tremendous impact.
Oh, I agree. Yes, that's so true. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's just amazingly important. Now, your center is in Redmond. What is your website, Maria, for the center?
Music-massage.com.
Okay, music-massage.com.
Yes.
And they can find out about your book, Breaking the Silence, that was written. A lot of the information in here was by your sister, Dorothy, who has since passed on. But they can find out more information about the other products. The CD I can recommend because I have listened to it more than once. And sometimes when I've been working, I've had it on, and I'm just doing whatever I'm doing. And it's fascinating how it allows for a clarity of the mind when you're doing work. So I really think that it's a wonderful CD to get. And where is the center located, and what other information can you give me quickly? Because we have about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, the center, there's no more attunement room, so the center is in my home, actually.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, then they can go to the website, music-massage.com.
Yes.
And find out more about what's been going on with your organization. Well, Judith Lowe and Maria McKinney, I'm so glad you were able to join me today. I really think it's great that you're doing this research and that you continue to do it and sharing it with as many people as possible. I enjoyed your book. I enjoyed the CD very much. And for those of you listening, if you're interested in a kind of musical massage therapy, this is something that I can recommend. It's a very, very good product. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you for your questions. They were wonderful.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and I just really am so grateful for these two ladies joining me. I was just reflecting on how Maria, being 81 years of age, at the time she would have started becoming involved in this, she would have really been considered an oddball, because they would have said, who are you? What are you doing this stuff for? So she stepped into an area of research and investigation regarding sound and wellness that was, well, predating what we hear of so much at this time. And I really think that the knowledge and wisdom that she, her sister, and Judith Lowe, and others that have worked with her have made such a difference. It's good to be able to know of these people. So many times there will be individuals that are very knowledgeable and they're in different areas and they are not able to reach large amounts of people. So I really appreciate them, and I'm hoping that I will be able to bring them into an environment of more exposure with people, especially here in the state of Washington, because so many times when people have a lot of knowledge and when they pass away, if they don't have something that they leave as a legacy, then all of their wisdom and their knowledge and their understanding, well, it's not passed on, and we are lacking because of that. And that's the case with Maria when she's 81 years of age and she's sort of retired from doing certain things, yet she's still involved and still interested in her own way. So she's an inspiration for us. I wanted to share a story with you. Before I do, I want to let you know those telephone lines are open, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here's the telephone number to call in, 2-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or initial, then relax, and I'll tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. So it's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you a story about a fairy queen. Ah, yes. Well, there is a bit of a twist with this story. It takes place in the 1800s. In fact, the date is October the 7th of 1853 in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. Now, there was a church bell at the Kirk of St. James. It began to ring out a warning that a vessel was in distress. And there was a time when that was the primary level of communication. In these little communities, it would be along a coastline. The bell would be rung. Now the fairy queen, well, this was a steam-powered sidewheeler, and it was prepared to start off on a trip taking people to Nova Scotia. Now, this boat had been used frequently. It carried mail, it carried passengers between the island and the mainland, and was tied to the wharf. The bells were ringing frantically. Well, one of the citizens of this town, whose name was Captain Cross, was riding his horse, and he heard the bell. Now, he was a bit perplexed, because at the waterfront, he rode by the waterfront, Fairy Queen, she was at dock, there was nothing out in the waters that he could see. So he started really deciding, something's wrong, something's going on at the church, and I got to find out. So he rides his horse as fast as it'll go, and when he got near the church, he saw three women, and they were all dressed in white. And they were waiting inside the church's doorway. There was another woman that was inside the church that was ringing the bell furiously. Well, he saw these three women enter into the sanctuary. When he rode up to the sanctuary, got off of his horse, goes up to the front door, that door was locked. He couldn't get in. The church minister and the sexton of the church ended up joining him because of the ringing of the bell. Then they managed to get the church door open. When they entered the church, they saw these women climbing the stairs to the belfry. The men followed immediately. But when they entered the belfry, no one was there. The bell's rope was tied. The bell should never have been ringing. They had counted it. The bell had rung 8 times. Well, the fairy queen, it was ready to take off. It was smooth waters. It started its journey to Nova Scotia. It never made it. The ship's steering rope broke, and while it was being repaired, the boiler fire went out. The vessel began taking on water that couldn't be bailed out because the pump was connected to the steam engine, and the steam engine had no power. Winds came up. The waves grew just humongous. The Fairy Queen, she capsized. Now, the crew was able to grab some lifeboats, but they left the passengers, and the passengers ended up all in the water. And these waters were very violent. They were clinging to wreckage. 8 people died on that boat, and 4 of them were women who belonged to the congregation at the Kirk of St. James. Fascinating, isn't it? Well, that's the story for today, but I wanted to share that with you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I've got a great recipe for you. Really, really simple. 4 chicken with cashews. Szechuan style. Yum. I love Oriental food. What about you? It's so tasty. Usually there's a lot of ingredients, but it doesn't take long to fix it. It's all of the assembling of ingredients that takes the time. So that's going to be the case here. A lot of good stuff in it, and it's healthy, and it's flavorful, so I'll be sharing that with you. I want to let you know that tomorrow we're going to be talking about the suppressed history of America. Davion Hayes is our guest, and this is about Lewis and Clark. It is also about a murder. And you're going to have to listen in to find out more. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about the Reiki Man. Yes, this is a mystery that was written by Dominic James. It's fascinating. It's intriguing. It even has an effect of time travel in it. Intrigued? I hope so. Join us on Thursday with Dominic James. And then on Friday, Primal Body, Primal Mind. Nora Gedgaudas is going to be my guest. This is a woman who has a passion for nutrition, for research, for being able to educate people, inform them about what they can do to enjoy the best of health. So we've got a great lineup of people, very diverse topics, and I hope that you will join us. By the way, for those of you who are listening that are in New York City, I'm going to be in New York City Thursday. I'll be flying out on Thursday. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. So if you're interested in having an appointment with me while I'm in that fabulous city, then just give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. And for those of you who might be listening from Alaska, I'm going to be in Anchorage and Fairbanks, Alaska. The information about the trip, which is going to be the 19th through the 23rd, it's going to be a very, very fast-paced trip. That is also up on my website in my newsletter, and the contact information is there as well. But always call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Well, I know we're going to go on break in just a minute, so I want to just ask you, and I haven't done this for a while, I'm coming across some of the most interesting stories about paranormal experiences. And just a few days ago, I happened to be in a retirement facility visiting with someone, and I found out the place was haunted. So I'm hoping that they're going to be sending me some of their stories. And if you have some unique stories or personal experiences, I would love to have the story. I am collecting. My goal is to collect 100. I'm getting closer to that objective, and I'm wanting to put a publication together. So I hope you will be a contributor. Send your email to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And I will need your contact information, but I would love to have your story about an experience that's had an effect on your life, whether it's near death, where it's seeing a ghost, or having a dream that came true, or whatever it might be. I love the stories, and I think the more we can share them, the better it is. The more open we are about psychic phenomena and what we perceive as paranormal events, the better I think it is in life, because we have an understanding that sometimes there's something much greater than we are at work in life. We're going to take a break. When we come back, have that pad of paper and pen handy, and we'll be discussing chicken with cashews, Szechuan style. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, got that pad of paper and pen handy? Here's a yummy recipe that it's not going to be too extreme, and it's something that's really going to taste good, but you do have a bunch of ingredients. So remember what I said, whenever you're fixing an Asian recipe, it's getting all your ingredients out because it's primarily your preparation. The actual cooking goes really, really fast. And, you know, you can do different things with it, but one of those handy-dandy woks is absolutely great. Now, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need 2 large whole chicken breasts. That's going to be about 2 pounds of meat. And this is going to serve about 4 people, 5 people, depending on their appetite. I'd say it's more for 4. Anyway, 2 large whole chicken breasts, about 2 pounds. You're going to need 1 egg white, 1 teaspoon of cornstarch, 1 teaspoon of soy sauce, and a little bit of white pepper. You need 1 large green pepper, 1 medium onion, 1 can, 8 ounces, of sliced bamboo shoots, and you want these drained. You're going to need a tablespoon of cornstarch. This is for something separate in the recipe. And a tablespoon of cold water, a tablespoon of soy sauce, and 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, 1 cup of raw cashews, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of finely chopped ginger root, 2 tablespoons of oil, 1 tablespoon of hoisin sauce, that's spelled H-O-I-S-I-N, sauce, 2 teaspoons of chili paste, and if you don't have that, you can use a teaspoon of finely chopped dried chili pepper and 1 tablespoon of soy sauce. You can mix that together, and that'll do it for the chili paste. You need 1/4 cup of chicken broth and 2 tablespoons of chopped green onions. And you want to include the tops. I told you there were a lot of ingredients. All right. Now, you can get your chicken breast deboned. If you have it and it's not been deboned, all you have to do is remove the bone and the skin. You want to cut your chicken into 1/4-inch pieces, and you want then to take your egg white, and that should be at room temperature, and your 1 teaspoon of cornstarch, your 1 teaspoon of soy sauce, and a little bit of white pepper, and you want to mix that in a bowl. And then you put your chicken into it. So you just cover it and refrigerate it. That goes into the refrigerator. So you're going to refrigerate that mixture for about 20 minutes. And then your green pepper, you're going to cut into chunks. And then your onion, you want to cut into 8 pieces. And then you want to cut your bamboo shoots into like 1/2-inch pieces. They're fairly sizable in the can, so you just cut them up a little bit smaller. And then you're going to take your tablespoon of cornstarch, the water, and also your tablespoon of soy sauce, and you whisk that together quickly. And then you're going to take the wok, and you want to heat it. It's got to be preheated. And you'll know that it's ready for cooking when you drop in a couple of drops of water and the water just bounces all over the inside. It's gotten good and hot. Then you're going to add your 2 tablespoons of oil and you want to rotate your wok so that the oil goes all over the inside of it. And you want to stir fry your cashews until they're light brown in that oil. It takes about a minute. Take the cashews out, put them on a paper towel, let them drain, and then sprinkle the cashews with salt. Then you're going to add this chicken mixture that you've had in the refrigerator to your wok, and you stir fry it until it turns white. Then you take your chicken out of the wok. You then put your onion pieces and ginger root into the wok. Stir fry until the ginger root is sort of light brown. Put in your bamboo shoots. Add 2 tablespoons of oil. Rotate the wok so that that oil gets in there. Add your chicken, green pepper, your hoisin sauce, and your chili paste. And then you just mix it 1 minute. Add your 1/4 cup of chicken broth. Heat to boiling. Stir in your cornstarch mixture. You cook and stir until thickened. Takes about 20 seconds. Then those cashews that have been drained and salted, put those in, chop green onions, bingo, your dish is ready. I told you it was easy. It's always the preparation that takes so much time with Asian dishes. I love to watch a cooking show where these people just go sip, 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 sip. It's great, but it does take time to get all your ingredients ready and lined up so that you just move really, really fast. I can remember watching someone years ago who had come from China. Her family had survived the Cultural Revolution. And I watched her work with eggs and different things, and she moved so quickly. But everything was fast. Everything was really, really fast, and primarily fresh ingredients. That was something that was very, very important, because in her culture, they had to go shopping every day for whatever they wanted. They didn't have refrigeration. And it was really, really important that you went to the market every day. That was a part of your routine. And it's something that I think many times in the United States, we forget that that was the case in this country at one time. So it's really quite interesting when you look at history and you see where we have come within a very, very short period of time. When I think of my grandmother and how in Virginia she always had to prepare for winter, that was something that was a big job, really, really a big job, because they had to work all summer, so they had enough food for winter. I think I like the way we live today. I really do. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the suppressed history of America. I wanted to just share this story with you. There was a man by the name of John Howland. He wrote about a fellow called Ralph McGill in Time magazine. He said, "Mac had guts when it took guts to have guts." Ralph Waldo Emerson McGill was the editor and then publisher of a publication called the Atlanta Constitution during the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And he became known as the conscience of the South for speaking out in his paper against social injustice. Now, McGill publicly opposed the Ku Klux Klan and segregationist Governor Eugene Talmadge. He absolutely hated and deplored the acts as burning of schools and bombings of Jewish temple. Now, he became so public about it, he actually won a Pulitzer Prize for his writings. But advertisers in his newspaper were boycotted, and he himself, Mr. McGill, he was shot at, and crosses were burned on his lawn. Now, you know what? He died in 1969. Ralph McGill did, and more than 10 years later, Atlanta renamed a street bearing the name of the first imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. The new name was changed to Ralph McGill Boulevard. A touch of history there. Things can change. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.